good morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors. It was mentioned earlier, we consider you our special guest. We're glad that you came out of your day to worship God with us. If there's anything we can do for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. And please make sure you had a visitor's card filled out so we can have a record of your attendance. Have a couple prayer requests. Van would like for us to pray for him. He is having some epidural shots on July 6th and 20th. I don't care if I'm just going for a checkup. I get a little apprehensive going to the doctor, so let's pray for Van as he's having this. Also, Stacy is going to be having, I need prayers for me because Stacy is having surgery on her foot. Just the very thought of it, what they're doing is enough to make me dig, get ready to preach because I may pass out just explaining it. She's got bone spurs on her right heel, and they're going to have to take the Achilles tendon off, scrape those off, and then reattach the Achilles tendon. The surgery is easy. It's the recovery that's the booger of the whole thing. So let's keep Van and Stacy and me in our prayers. Let's go to God in prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings you give us. We're so thankful that we could come together, that you've designed it for us to come together as brothers and sisters today to worship you, to fellowship with each other, and to give you honor and glory and praise. Dear God, we come to you right now on behalf of our brother Van as he's getting ready to have some procedures done in about a month. Some shots we're hoping that they will work and have their intended use. We pray for Stacy as she's going to be having surgery this coming Tuesday. Please be with her, be with the doctors as they perform the surgery, and be with her in the recovery. Be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope everything has been done in spirit and in truth and to your glory. We pray through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to look today at the Word of God. A lot of times we think of the Bible. We study the Bible. You know, we've heard it many times. Oh, I've heard that story out of the Bible, or I know that verse. I can quote it forwards and backwards, or people, you know, have the attitude, you know, why do I need to study this? We've already studied this topic before. Things like that. And I'm hoping that we just take a little bit different look at the Word of God and see the importance. See just how important His Word is and what the Bible, what we've got at our disposal. We have been looking at the law of Moses in Preston's Sunday morning Bible class, and we've seen the importance there. We're going to look at, in total, the Word of God. If you picked up an outline, I specifically left the script, there's no categories or anything. It's kind of more of a, here's the teacher in me, more of a worksheet for you to either today or in your devotional time this coming week to kind of, after those scriptures, you put what those scriptures, what the Word of God is capable of doing according to those scriptures. The scripture reading that Ken read earlier was taken from 2 Timothy 3, and these are the words of Paul to Timothy, and he's telling him, he's reminding him. I know Timothy knows this, but Paul is reminding him of this. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it is God-breathed. That just as we, when we breathe and we exhale, when we talk, we are actually exhaling. God breathed the words to man. And it is inspired by God. It is not written by man. It is the original source is from God. And it goes on to say the benefits of the word. It says, and is profitable for doctrine. That's a sermon right there. There's a lot of people that you know, a lot of religious-minded people that teach that, well, truth for you is truth for you. And truth for me is truth for me. There's a lot of people this very moment meeting together throughout Las Vegas, throughout the world, that has that religious belief that you do you. I hate that term, by the way. I can't believe I use it. I despise that term. Anyway, that you do whatever is good for you, and we'll do what's good for us, and it's all good. It's profitable for doctrine. There is such thing as doctrine, and it's from God,
amen,
not man. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17 gets into the idea of why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In this one passage of two verses, we see that the scriptures are from God. And that we get the benefit from these different things, and we see the results if we follow it. And I know sometimes I have the habit of taking the Bible for granted, the power that it has, what it can do for us. I'd like to look at some other scriptures. In Genesis 1, where the Bible starts out, some of us, if you visitors here, I don't know if you're a member of the Lord's body. I don't know if you're a member of the church or not, or if you've never even heard the Word of God. The Bible starts out with creation. And in Genesis 1, it says, then God said, let there be light. Then God said, and he created the animals and man and all. He spoke the world into existence. Just like 2 Timothy said that it's inspired, he spoke the world and everything in it into existence, the power of God. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we see kind of not a history, but a look back at some of the various ways that God has spoken his will to man. God has never judged man and required anything of him that he hadn't already told him of ahead of time, because that would be unjust. And we know that God is just. If he's anything, he's just. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Kind of tying in the idea that the Word of God is God breathed, that the creation and all of that. We look in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, some of the different ways that God has spoken. He talked to Moses through a burning bush. He talked to the prophets, and I am so glad. I am so glad I'm living today, and I have the completed Word of God that I can refer to, rather than all of a sudden be walking around and all of a sudden hearing my name out of the clouds. Bruce? Who's... Okay, Daryl. Where are you at, Daryl? You're pulling my leg. No, it's God. Daryl, come on out. You know, I would think it's a joke. I would think there's a gimmick to it. Am I losing my mind? I've misplaced it a few times, but am I totally losing my mind? I'm glad I have God's word in a completed form today, rather than walking by a bush that's burning but not being consumed, and a voice coming out of the bush. Or a dream, a vision. I have weird dreams. I would just think that it's another one of those weird nightmares I have. God used a donkey with Balaam. If all of a sudden I'm walking by and Francis the mule's talking to me, anybody know who Francis the mule is? A couple, okay, thank you. Kind of like... Yeah, that's, you know, few people think, old movie. God has used various ways, but today he uses his son to speak to us. In John 1, the Gospel of John starts out, and God says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Who is that Word? In verse 14, we see, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He couldn't be anything but that. If he wasn't full of grace and truth, he wouldn't be from God. Amen. He could only be that. In Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12, we see what the Word is and how powerful it is. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. No excuses are going to be acceptable on that great and glorious day. We're not going to, when we stand the Word of God is going to be able to get right into the very essence of our being. We're not going to be able to make excuses. We're not going to be able to justify. But God, this. But God, you don't understand why I... The Word of God is going to be able to judge us. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says, knowing this first, and this is a good verse that we can use for some of our religious friends that believe in that idea that doctrine changes, that truth for you can be truth for you, and truth for me is truth for me. This is a wonderful verse to deal with that religiously. Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't have the luxury of being able to say, well, to me, this scripture says this. I want it to say that. If you want it to say that, go ahead. God had one intention, and it's either right or wrong. It's a very black and white issue. Peter also said in 1 Peter 1, starting in 23, having been born again. We hear that term a lot of times. People use that term born again sometimes in an incorrect way. We know that being born again starts with baptism. That was what Nicodemus was asking of Jesus. And Jesus explained being born again to him. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. We can count on the word of God. It's not one of those things that changes with time. As a history teacher, I one of the things I enjoy the most is cultural history. How things come and go, and what's in at one period of time is out in another period of time. The Word of God is not like that. Amen. The Word of God applies to all people in all times. There's no truth for you and truth for me. Amen. There is truth of God. Amen. In Luke 24, Jesus was preaching, and it says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Jesus has been being talked about since the Old Testament. In fact, the bulk of the Old Testament is preaching a Savior is coming. A Savior is needed. And then the New Testament, he's here. And for us today, we act upon that. In John 12:48, we see that the word is going to judge us in that day. Jesus said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. When we're standing before God, we're going to be judged based on the word, the words that Jesus has spoken. And it's going to apply to all. Romans 10:17, this is a scripture that a lot of men use, whether teaching a class or speaking from the pulpit. Romans 10:17, Paul wrote, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's that word of God being preached or read that inspires people to believe in God. After we've heard that word of God, we have a choice. We can either believe or not believe. And we see here that faith comes from the word of God. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That shows us what the Bible, God's word, is, that it guides us. We were mentioning today, and we were looking at the law of Moses, how God's word has been the foundation of every civilized nation of their civil laws. Has been based on the Bible, has been based on God's word. James 1:21, James wrote, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. And what does it do? Which is able to save your souls. That's powerful. That one verse is very powerful. That we need to lay aside all the bad in our lives and receive the word of God, because it's able to save our souls. Acts 18:8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, we kind of see how people are being saved. We see Romans 10:17 in real time about faith. You know, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. They heard the word of God. They chose to receive and believe it. And as a result of that, they obeyed and were baptized because of it. And closing up, 1 Corinthians 15, we see some of our responsibility. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. This is Paul talking to the Christians in Corinth, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you were also saved, if. You are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Once we hear that word of God, believe it, are baptized because of it, we have to continue into it. Amen. The word of God is powerful. It is from God. It is all powerful because it is from God. It will judge us in that last day, and it can save us if we allow it.
Amen.
If we allow it, and it needs, it has to be obeyed.
Amen.
Has to be obeyed. The lesson is yours. If you did not get an outline, these would be some good verses to maybe do your own personal study this week. Maybe go through them again and write out what the Word of God is capable of doing according to those verses. We always offer the opportunity of an invitation to those who may need prayers, people that may need to, that they've heard the Word of God, they believe it, and they want to be saved through baptism. If you need to be baptized, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you've got sin in your life, Jesus said in Luke 13:3 that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You need to repent of your sins. If there is sin in your life, don't go another day without repenting and changing and getting back on track. Whatever your need, if we can be of service to you, please come forward while we sing the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.